Hey everyone, this is There Are Four Hosts. I am Jay, at Just Average Jay, on socials.
And I am Michael, you can find me at Blue Beetle Games on the Twitters.
Hey, this is Sabrina, you can find me at Void Cat Gaming on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram.
Hi, I'm Keith Justice, and you can find me on Twitter at Keith Justice Prime. So if you've been going to Keith Hayward all this time, I said it wrong. So my Twitter is not Keith Hayward, it's Keith Hayward Prime. So you might have been going to a different Keith Hayward this entire time. So yeah, look me up on Twitter.
It's like a Prime Universe thing or something?
That's because someone else took Keith Hayward because they got there first.
How dare they have a same name as you?
How dare they?
Kind of like how someone tried to do Void Cat on Twitch and it was already taken.
It wasn't taken when I checked, and then a week later it was, and I'm still mad about it. Why do you bring it up?
Sorry. Okay,
salt in the wound.
Back into the podcast. hey, everyone. So, episode 4 of Picard happened, and we got a little bit more of the juicy story going on, and the dismay with the Romulans, and how upset they are about everything.
Aren't they always, actually, though?
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and Picard, you get a little bit more of an insight of Picard's, where he's coming from and all that stuff. So anyway, we won't get too into that yet. But we have Romulan, like, sword assassins that are all female.
Which is dope.
I mean, yeah, we need to jump in on that. That's kind of badass. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Can I just say something about that real quick? I'm really excited about this thing that just happened here, and it kind of mirrors the thing that we like to make fun of in Vulcans a lot with Spock's secret older brother, who is like an emotional Vulcan. But I do actually like that they're doing more with the fact that one society, one culture, wouldn't be completely homogenous. So showing us the sect of Romulans that's like, I know all of the other Romulans are all about keeping all the secrets, but we're like, fuck that, we're gonna be super honest. I actually appreciate that. I think that's dope.
Absolute candor. Yeah, interesting, right?
I've been seeing them actively show different Romulans in this show aggressively, because there was a joke I saw a while ago about, like, Star Trek V, where the Romulan there was just an Asian woman. And, like, there was nothing on her head, and then, like, her ears were barely changed.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, some people started noticing, like, oh, wait, and some have foreheads, and some don't. And wait, what's going on here? And in this show, we are starting to see all different forms of Romulans.
It's nice, though, that it's not only a visual change differences between them, but also, like, actual cultural differences.
Yeah.
I do have to make fun of the gesture that they use, though, because it's literally like, look, we're open books. So that was a little too on the nose for me, but it was a nice way to show that, like, Picard paid attention to the other culture and stuff like that.
And speaking of Picard and that culture, him and I forget the boy's name right now.
I wrote it down for that. Elnor.
Okay. Yes. It's really sweet to see him and Picard interact when he's younger. And considering Picard was so anti-kids when we first start TNG, to see this full transition of him bringing him a book and a gift and, you know, just opening up himself to this boy. Mm-hmm. And which, you know, apparently didn't, because that group is an all-female group, so he didn't really belong to that group. So having Picard, like, to, you know, look up to as a male figure was actually really sweet. So, I mean, you see this really sweet, gentle interaction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering what you guys are, how you guys are feeling with that.
I when it comes to fiction, I'm always a sucker for training sequences. Like, that would destroy all of my defenses about, like, how much I might not like a thing. If I see, like, the show slow down, stop, and then you see, like, the montage, and there's music, and then you see the person, like, suck at something, and then slowly they find their inspiration, they smile, they get better at it, and, like, Picard being the inspiration behind the kid wanting to be a good man and a swordsman, and then, like, they have an order of swordsmen, and then also I'm a sucker for sword slingers, so I'm gonna say, like, yeah, I'm starting not to like Picard, but man, in that sequence I was just like, all right, okay, yeah, I'm with you, let's do this. So I was having a good time with the training sequences a lot.
Good. So basically, I'm trying to kind of go in order of the episode, just so, you know, people can follow along or whatever. But after that sequence, you know, we go back into space, and space turns out to be super boring.
I thought that was hilarious.
Who knew? I mean, Agnes.
I've never heard someone say that in Trek, but at the same time, it makes complete sense. So, I was actually, yeah.
Well, when I was watching it, I kept on all the Agnes scenes. I kept thinking of Sabrina because I was thinking she must love all the cute Agnes stuff that's
going
on.
Thank you. Yeah, I do.
She was adorable.
I did think it was funny because there's this thing in improv called calling the game, where like you'll with a line or a joke explicitly kind of call out what's going on the stage as being like a little ridiculous in the real world. And I feel like that's kind of what they did with that Agnes moment, because Star Trek, you know, obviously is all about we're traveling in space and we keep running into like weird shit. Why is this going on? But in real life, space is, you know, vast empty spaces between particles of stuff even. So that was kind of like the Picard going out on like science fiction moment in reverse, where it's just like Agnes being like, I know that in all these shows that we've had a lot of stuff happen, but actually there's not much in space, is there? It's pretty boring.
What?
Bring a book is what they're saying.
I gotta disagree. Space isn't boring though. Stop making fun of the stuff I love. So like for me,
that's like, not what I'm saying at all.
I know. I understand like how people felt it and read it and like why it'd be funny and cool. But for me, like it was just kind of like, hey, you know.
Are you making fun of Star Trek right now?
Space is awesome. In like a book series I've read, like they took a small moment for like just to explain like this is what's happening right now. You are exploding and bending space-time reality itself around your world, and you get to see from one expanse of the galaxy to another. You're splitting the vacuum itself in reality, and that's freaking awesome. I could sit all day looking out the window and just thinking that and seeing that, and you're like, you should be like fascinated and you're uplifted. Like I love space and space travel. So like that moment was kind of like I get what you guys are doing. You're calling the game. I get it. But like you guys can also take this moment to, you know, uplift people with how awesome space and science fiction can be. So yeah, I got a little huffy at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, understandable. I think it's hilarious that she says it while there's like a warp bubble around the ship.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they're literally,
so you can't see anything.
Yeah. It's just warp and it's just, wait, there's a, what? Like, yeah, it's boring, but it's beautiful. Look at that. Like,
blazing fires of space time.
But I think amazing. That's kind of like what she means. It's like, you know, let's skip back a couple generations when we didn't have planes yet. And a couple generations, 100 years, whatever. We didn't have planes yet and we only had boats. And it was like, yay, you get to be on a boat for three months. The ocean's beautiful, but like 2 months in, you're pretty fucking bored of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can see getting used to it.
It was hilarious. Yeah. And then I don't know. She's adorable. I love her character so much. So I look forward to her scenes and what she's going to say because she's so different than... Mm-hmm. What we're used to in Trek.
She's kind of like that bright-eyed ensign.
Agreed.
But we usually get bright-eyed ensigns for like one episode, maybe, and then like not really. Whereas like she's like our lasting bright. Okay, we're not counting Mayweather. He basically had no personality. Sorry, Mayweather.
She almost reminds me of you guys seen the show Angel, the character Fred. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She almost reminds me of Fred a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny.
Sorry. Sorry.
You don't want to
change. While we're talking about that kind of scene, you guys might remember around episode one, I was like, we haven't seen them on the ship yet, so we don't know how they'll interact. I quite like the non like, oh, plot is important right now, just like fucking around character interactions. That reminds me of Trek. That felt nice. I enjoyed that. And I gotta make fun again of our intrepid ship captain. First of all, that scene where Picard's like, oh wait, you're the captain, haha. That was cute. But I gotta make fun of him again for the fact that we've now seen four different holograms of him. The medical one, the navigational one, the hospitality one, and I guess the last one was the tactical. How did this happen? Okay, so all four of them look like him. but have different personalities. Okay, maybe they after like Voyager came back, they were like, oh, it's actually nice to have holograms with personalities, so we'll start giving them personalities, and maybe that's what happened and he just decided to make them look like him. But like, just the idea of them having different personalities and different accents, mind you, but all of them looking like him is just freaking wild.
Yeah, like, you totally you jumped my list, Sabrina. Oh, you skipped ahead, and how dare you? No, I'm just
kidding. The same scene, okay?
I know.
Well, the hospitality one shows up there.
Yeah, but, yeah. Which actually, that actually ties into what I was gonna bring up. But go ahead. Anyone else wanna go on about that? Because Sabrina is on a roll.
I like Captain Rios in general. I could see like a Captain Rios show.
Yeah.
You spin off, maybe not with all of him being the crew, but. I like this character.
Rios only.
He's the lowest acting budget ever.
Right.
I think it's hilarious. There, I mean, all those holograms and all the different versions of him. And, I mean, how amazing is he to be able to pull that off? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was saying that, like, all right, well, he once again gets to act different. And therefore, it looks like he's having a lot of fun. And then if I went to nitpick, which is a nitpick, I'm not going to take this as a serious jab, but it's more like, so for your tactical hologram, you want a hungover slow version of yourself? do you really want that for the person, you know, trying to keep you alive? Then, like, in my mind, I guess I can recalculate that it's a supercomputer and, like, maybe that's how much time it takes to do the calculations, and it's just masked by it looking like it's hungover, but it's really, really on the ball the entire time, so... Yeah. That's what I saw.
It acts like it's drunk to make up for the fact that it's having to do some really complex...
like, that makes you feel better.
Spatial math.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say.
It makes you feel less inferior because it's a drunk hologram, so you feel less inferior. Yeah, of course. Yep. Makes total sense.
But it's still on the ball. It's still on the ball.
Yep. Oh, and Rafi does a fun Picard impression.
Forgot about that.
Rafi, the aggressive disapprover.
I kind of like it, though, because, like, they start being passive-aggressive at each other sometimes, and I'm like, that's two officers that have worked together for too long.
Absolutely. Okay, but speaking of the holograms, so the hospitality hologram, so Picard gets his whole study? I mean, like, he doesn't just get a room. He gets his whole damn study in the ship. I mean, that's... Going from, well, I guess since he hired him, and even though it's not supposed to be a monetary, you know, society, he hired the captain, and I guess the captain's, you know, kind of, since he's hired, he paid him, he's going out of his way for him, but it just felt kind of different, because, you know, you're on a spaceship, but then you have all this room that's built in wood, and all these things, and it just, I mean, I understand, but then at the same time, I'm like, but that's not really how... You know, space travel works. You don't have rooms that are holograms or that are holodecks, unless maybe you do now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, it's been around for 30 years now. Maybe they do.
Maybe
They started putting at the beginning of TNG.
Well, they started putting like emitters on other parts of Voyager, right? So the Doctor could get around. So then he had the mobile emitter, but still.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, huh. Let me ponder that and think, do I like that? I don't know if I like that. I'm still up in the air about it.
Yeah. Same. Like, if you're going to have a room in your starship, I want to see what your room in your starship looks like.
I agree.
And then, like, I guess if I'm... I'd be going too far in wanting nostalgia to say that he'd recreate his own, like, Enterprise D ready room. That'd be cool.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that'd be going too far. But, yeah, it's just kind of like... I like my starships. I like going in your starship and you have your like your little command room or something like that, and it'd be cool to see it be designed, but in this show they stick to way too much black metal and orange and you don't get too much design, so I think that they wanted to make the most out of like the sets that they did make, and they just get to go back to like the one set. And I was actually thinking that like maybe it's because Patrick Stewart is an older man now, and I wasn't sure if like his chateau is a location or a set, because at first I thought it might have been location. Maybe it's like
I think the outside's a location, the inside's a set. That's usually how they do
I got confused by that, so it's probably a set and just around the corner from the other set, so it's probably not a distance thing, but it's more of like a we spent all this time making this, let's keep using it.
We're actually in a weird place here because the three of you guys are against this and I'm like, actually I'm okay with it. So let me be in the place of defending something for once. The fact is, Rios has a ship that he can rent out, so there's probably, like, sometimes he does passengers, sometimes he does other stuff, but he's the only person on the crew, so all the rooms that would be normally taken up by crew are vacated. So there's room for Agnes and Picard and stuff to take. I don't know if it would be that big. The ship from the outside looks pretty small, but I do believe we've had holodecks since the beginning of TNG. Like, that was the thing. The beginning of TNG, everybody's like, holy shit, this new technology is awesome. That's now been 30 years. That gives us enough time to make it so that it's pretty easy to get on ships. So I'm fine with holodeck, captain's room.
Okay.
I don't wonder about it.
Good to know.
All I know is if that technology ever came, you know, real, we'd be fucked as a society, because, like, we would never leave the holodeck.
So no. True.
Like,
so true.
Like Barclay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd be like, see ya.
Yeah.
Sort of pull this awesome sci-fi series in, but there's a couple of episodes of Stargate where they run into, like, ancient civilizations where this is exactly what happened. Everybody is in, like, a VR pod, and they've been there for centuries, and they don't even know it anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. So, yeah, that's the thing.
You would open my holodeck, and I'd be like, make it so, you know. Sorry, I apologize.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
What are you apologizing for?
My terrible Patrick Stewart impression.
All right, Jay.
Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, it's very interesting the way the ship's laid out and stuff. So they go back to the planet, and basically it's the opposite of what it was. When Picard beams down, it's, you know, very, like, just unhappy and unwelcome, and no one says hi to him, and, you know, it's just,
he's the man who abandoned them.
Exactly. And you feel that, you know what I mean? Like, it's really kind of a trip to feel that flip. And then, you know, building up to that, you kind of wonder if the group that he was so close to was going to be the same, but they weren't. It was really sweet.
Thankfully.
But it was just very different, and just, you know, this Picard left them hanging, didn't come back, didn't keep up, you know, keep his promise. And I love at the end how he takes the Romulan's only sign and, like, steps on it and basically walks right in, like, F you, like, no, like I tried, you know. But at the same time, it's one of those, like, uncomfortable scenes, you know, like, as a viewer watching that kind of scene happen, where it's very uncomfortable, and you feel for both sides, you know, you see both sides and you feel for both sides. And then you're just like, man, you know, like, what's going to happen? And you hope that they all kind of come together and, like, oh, well, we understand. But that's not really what happened. A guy gets his head chopped off. But, you know, it's that whole, like, the whole internal, like, struggle of, oh, man, like, I understand them, but I understand him. And like, it's just uncomfortable and just hurts. But it was interesting to see him so warm, and then at the end of it, just stepping on the sign and being like, nope, I'm walking in here, and you guys are going to have to deal.
I'm curious why, like, what you guys think his reasoning was for that. Because I think we're all going to have different ideas. Jay, what do you think?
You know, I think that part of it, it's interesting, because I think part of it was, no, like, I'm Picard, I'm the Admiral, this was me, you know, I'm not letting this happen, like, taking ownership of the situation, because he was the one that was their, you know, Ambassador and Admiral, and he basically was trying to help them, and then circumstances happened where he couldn't anymore. But at the same time, I think that he basically was like, no, like, I tried, like, this is my thing, and I'm allowed to be here. You know,
it was just a personal thing?
I think so, but also I think that it was a little more than that, in the sense that, like, that's not okay. Like, I am, you know, here he is, you know, on camera in the previous episodes, you know, talking about how it's not the Federation
anymore.
And at the
beginning of this episode.
What's that?
And at the beginning of this episode.
Yes, where, you know, he's like, no, they're not, it's not Romulan lives, it's lives, you know, like, he's trying to say, hey, look, like, you can't. Like, that's not okay. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's not a race thing or a, you know, it's a
species
all,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. We're all, you know, I mean, we're all legs. So exactly. So I think that it was personal, but it was also a little bit of that, like, hey, I don't stand for that. Like, I told them that we're all equal, and I would like for you to think the same. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's how I feel about it. That it was an illustration of, like, prejudice, regardless of whether it's because your group is, like, because you were stomped on by the other group, or because you're stomping on the other group is not helpful. It was an interesting illustration of, like, Star Trek values. So, I'm fonder of this episode than I was of the other three.
Keith? And that's funny. This was my least favorite of all of them. It's kind of funny.
This is my... I'm having lots of mixed feelings now. Like, where I was easily more on one side or the other. This one's kind of like, okay, what is really happening here? How do I feel? So, like, this scene was a little, like, once again, like, too on the nose when it comes to what looked like liberal guilt. And going among, like, you know, these people who are, like, really poor. And, like, the things he's saying are, like, a little too on the nose. Then when he, like, threw away that sign, I was just like, okay. If this was, like, directly, like, our human past where you have, like, divisions between races and you threw down a sign, hell yeah, man. But, Jean-Luc, man, you just rolled up. And, like, you've been drinking wine and having threesomes all this time. And, like, these people are literally poor. And you don't know why they have the divisions here. Like, we haven't given enough, like, world building to understand why it's happening or why they feel the way they do.
Yeah.
And then, like, he like rolls up like a snarky badass with these, and they're already poor. I'm like, I kind of see what you're doing, because Jean-Luc is good, and but you're also not a badass anymore. What do you think is going to happen when you do this? Like, these people can, like, break you in half, and like, they've been through enough. So what are you trying to do here? And then there's the speeches, and then it's just like, It's a bit of a mess. It's a mess. Like, I get what you're trying to do, but it's a messy setup, and then you kill the guy afterwards?
Yeah, it was very aggressive.
I'm like, wait, what am I supposed to be feeling in this scene?
Well, he did give him a choice.
Yeah.
I'm also glad that Picard was like, you should not have killed him.
Yes.
I'm so glad he said
that
something.
Even though that was badass, you should not have killed him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude,
yeah.
Dope swordplay, but what up, dude? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm
he
glad
was
the
a
show
senator. I did find it very weird that the senator was like, "You have no knowledge of Romulan self-sufficiency and ingenuity," and I was like, "Well, why didn't you use any of that self-sufficiency or ingenuity to get out of the situation then?"
Yeah.
Well, and then after that, he was like, "And it's your fault that we got split up," but I'm like.
That was one thing I was thinking of. Like, yeah, he didn't finish, you know, what he promised, but he did save however many thousands or millions of, you know, Romulan lives.
And if you're that self-sufficient and ingenuous, that's not the right word, but whatever, why didn't you take hold of this community that you guys built right here and make it better?
Yeah.
I think what we're seeing is a thing I've been trying to untangle in my mind about what's going on with culture and fiction. And the problem, like, we're running into is that right now we're having science fiction that is not doing slice of life at all anymore. Where once upon a time we had 26 episodes to roll through, like, a focused, the writers back then had to clean up that one story and, like, make sure everything worked in there, versus a 10 to 12 story arc where they're just trying to do the, like, arc of just these characters and not the entire world.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the world has been simplified into some more, like, this good, this bad, in some ways. It definitely feels like the like, stuff going on with the Romulan was structured around the storyline, like Picard's personal arc. So that feels a little weird.
It's like OG Star Trek in science fiction. They hid messages underneath the world building, where this is not hiding the message at all, and they're not doing world building. That makes sense?
Or rather, the world building is built around...
There you go.
...making the message clear.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Bending the world itself to fit the message, no matter what it does.
Frankly,
to your
I'm getting kind of used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's,
like,
part of my, like, this is no longer the Star Trek I was... like used to, but whatever. Picard, so, in an alternate universe that's slightly black Jack and hookers, you know.
Yeah. On this on this scale, I'm trying to change my mind on this scale to how do I judge this kind of fiction versus like how I prefer it, which keeps on like trying to get in the room going, what? No, wait.
It's old trick.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's definitely different, and I think it's, you know, it's the whole like trying to put an eye on or you know, bring to light. I don't know. It's the whole debate of, you know, Hollywood using their tools to bring out, you know, issues that we're having in our country kind of stuff, you know. And
but are they bringing out the issues because they believe in the issues, or are they bringing out the issues because they think it'll get them points?
Exactly.
I got Star Trek, at least I feel like they're bringing up the issues because they want to have a debate about them.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I'm not mad about that.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. No, it's
unlike
it's,
some other movies.
Yeah.
They're trying to be responsible. They're trying to do a good thing with the platform they have. I can tell that, and I appreciate that. But they've forgotten how it was once done, that used to be able to break down barriers, which is what's needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I do feel that it's so unsubtle right now that, like, that story you told us about how that one episode kind of changed your view.
In one episode.
Much less likely to happen here.
The way it happened for me, I was ready for it. I could tell that's the metaphor they're going to try to do, change my mind about, like, homosexuality. And I was like, all right, give me what you got. Holy shit, you were right. And now they do it. Now they just kind of put it on the screen and say, this is good. And then, like, a person who's not on your side will just further dig in and they won't learn the lessons.
Yeah. It kind of puts a wall up instead of, Well, and I don't know, like, I mean, if kind of getting into it, I feel like we're at a place where people don't have, like, educated conversations about things anymore. People just say, well, you're wrong and I'm right. Or, you know, I'm right. You know, like, people aren't open to having those uncomfortable conversations. But that's the thing.
Yeah, they've become bludgeoning tools rather than discussion.
Yeah, and I think that's one nice thing is, you know, yes, they're kind of putting the stuff right in front of us in the show. But at the same time, it's not like, hey, we're right, you're wrong. It's a, hey, these are things that are happening in Star Trek that I get could be happening in your world. Let's, you know, let's see how things work out and maybe have a conversation about them. So Star Trek's always been political. And I mean, always not quite on the nose, like not quite as obvious, but Star Trek's always had like subtle. I wouldn't say political. I'd say social issues. Yeah, issues.
Yeah,
I've been having this conversation for like months and trying to explain to people that when people say they don't want politics in their fiction, they mean don't just spam like exactly
Democrat
what
Republican
you think.
Talking
points. the talking points. Don't spam partisan.
Yeah.
You instead show an allegory of like that's universal.
Yeah.
It's not a political stance or a talking point. It's a universal human thing that you can experience. And then usually those do fall into liberal talking points or whatever, but you can't just say it.
Yeah, it's not it's not political. It's more of a social society thing. I
do want to pause that. It is sometimes on the nose. Let's go back to TOS. Turnabout Intruder, I think, is the name of the episode. The one with the Romulan lady that tries to seduce Spock. When the first Romulan... What? You don't know about this episode, Keith? Come on.
I don't know TOS. TOS.
Okay. Well, it's one of the best episodes, so just like watch that one. Okay. at some point, Bones gives Kirk surgery so that he looks Romulan. It's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh. Whatever. at the very beginning, a Romulan appears on their view screen, and you find out that Romulans look like Vulcans because, you know, at this point, all we know about the Romulans is that there's a neutral zone and you don't want to get in a fight with them because they're vicious. So you see a Romulan for the first time, and the helmsman stops and looks at it and then looks at Spock and then says something real, like, aggressive. And then Kirk goes, there will be no prejudice on my bridge. Mm-hmm. So if you say anything bad about Spock again, you could just leave, basically. So it is very straightforward sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
Oh, God, I love Star Trek.
Amen.
What's next on the list, Captain?
So, excuse me. Okay, So I've got to bring this up because we're talking about uncomfortable conversations and the Romulan brother and sister.
Yeah. Yeah. That was uncomfortable for many reasons.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Like, dude, that's your sister.
Yeah. Like,
go get off his bed. What are you doing?
Like, your Star Trek is all like, but what? It was cool and Game of Thrones did it. Why can't
I do it? Why are you caressing his head like that?
No.
Right?
It's like, choke me harder. What? No.
I mean, you know, I hate to draw parallels, but I know Keith will get this. It's like, come on, is this Luke and Leia? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, they were not brother and sister when that happened, for the record.
They didn't know. Wait, but except Leia says,
we didn't find out until
the last episode. Leia says, hold on, he's my brother. I know, I think I've always known. Like, no,
bad retcon is bad. Bad retcon is bad.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't that happen because Star Wars fandom was just a way bigger fan of Han Leia than Luke Leia, and then they were like, oh, let's just get them together?
It was more because the actors were bigger fans. Like, so, like,
I know. They were banging. Yeah. They were banging. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So, like, naturally, they had better chemistry. So, that they originally, like, it was supposed to be Luke and Leia, which that's what I wanted. But the actress is like, I like Harrison Ford. And then they are naturally better together. And then, so that, like, in our minds back in the 80s, where you're kind of wondering, wait, why doesn't Luke get the girl? Because that's a cliche that
he's the main character. What's going up?
Yeah. So, but then you spam, wait, Keith. No, it's his sister. So you have to worry about it. And you're like,
hold on.
Yeah, it was.
But I feel like the
and also they wanted to.
Home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear God.
Sorry. I can go way too far on Star Wars, but I'll say like they wanted one more Luke, I'm your father moment. And that's why they also did it. So that's
anyway. But yes, uncomfortable Romulan brother and sister. It's a thing now. Yeah.
Well, okay, let's talk about that scene then, shall we?
Yeah, dig in. Let's go.
Do you mind if I all right. So that scene to me was very interesting because two things. One, I feel like it's leading into that thing I mentioned before where I think that like he's originally on the side of the Tal Shiar or whatever, but he's slowly going to turn to Soji's side. Yeah. I feel like that was emphasizing that just because his sister's being so rude to him. But also, I noticed that they said, again, that Soji's the destroyer. Like, just like, yep, she is. She's definitely the destroyer. And the fact that they've done that episode in that scene and the one before has made me utterly convinced that she's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like they like stamp it on there. Like, I'm like, all right, that's a red herring. Let's chill. There's no way.
Yeah.
So that's just reinforcing my, it's her sister's not
dead. Guy's just still out there somewhere.
Because the Romulan sister is being such a jerk to him. I feel perfectly that it would be in her character to be like, oh yeah, we actually have her in captivity, but I'm not gonna tell you. Fuck you.
Like, we saw her melting. Did we see the blast hit her and obliterate her? Did we cut away and then the explosion happened?
It cuts
and
to
then
him.
She got beamed out.
And then it cuts to the explosion. You see the explosion from his point of view. So if it happened in front of her, or if she beamed out, we wouldn't know.
Cool.
Well, you're talking about Daj
explosion.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. But there was a scene where it showed her face kind of melting like a little bit when the fire
was
went off
there?
Yeah,
we didn't see, we saw that, yeah, but we didn't see the final, or did we see the final?
No, we didn't see the final. No, it showed her, it showed the disruptor exploding, it showed her kind of looking up and being burnt, you know, like not fully disintegrated, but showed her skin like burning, and then you see the explosion of Picard fall back, you know, explode.
So then quick prediction, then Sabrina, you're right. She's the destroyer, and when we see her again, like, she'll be half melted, and then like she has more of a reason to be mad.
Terminator.
I was gonna say now we're bringing Terminator into Star Trek. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got Star Wars. We've got Firefly.
Terminator.
We've got Terminator.
Yeah, let's go. All right.
Too funny.
That's how I feel about that scene.
Yeah.
While we're talking about what's his name? Narek and Daj. Can I just bring up that whole them sliding in the Borg cube?
Oh, Soji.
Yeah.
Or Soji, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the like slide in her socks on the like wood kind of scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally have my notes. It says sliding in the Borg cube equal vomit. So that's, I'm just going to say, that's what I'm going to say about that scene.
Well, it, yeah. Go ahead.
It reminded me of that moment that everybody groaned at in Heroes when, like, the girl and the boy were flying together. And he goes, "I don't want you ever hurt again." And they kiss. And it was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, what is that scene doing in there? That made no sense to me. Yeah.
Here, I will read my exact notes on this scene for you. Okay, mm-hmm. You ready? Mm-hmm. A Borg ritual. Oh, it's a joke. Okay, no problem. What, sliding in socks. Okay, this is a love scene. Soji's so easy to distract. And then she goes, "Are you calling me a liar? I'm mad now."
She forgot vomit. Well, yeah.
Part of it. So earlier in the episode, you know, she's kind of calling him out, like, you know, "Hey, I forget
you're not
exactly
telling me anything about you."
Yeah. So I feel like she might be a little more hip to him than we are giving her credit for. I think she might, because I mean, she's an android. And look, if Dodge could react with the face mask on and take out those assassins, we don't really know what capability Soji has. I mean, if she is an android and she's starting to, you know, she's like, "Oh, I don't know. I just ask people and they give me things, or they tell me things, or, you know, like, people just tend to do what I ask." She might actually be able to, like, maybe unconsciously or subconsciously pick up on his vitals, his facial, you know, like, his tone. I mean, she might be way, way, like, in the know about what's going on with him.
Yeah. Did you notice when they were walking towards the Borg ritual scene and what's his name, Narek, said something like Soji's head turned, did like a little twitch like Data's did when he would think about something. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Oh, I didn't. I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, I watched that twice. It's very deliberate.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And speaking of Data, thank you for bringing him up. I have a question. So, if Dodge and Soji are made from neurons from Data, right? Since Data,
if they are.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
If they don't have Data because Data exploded, and Data's memories were loaded into B4. So, do you think that possibly B4 is the key to how Maddox made the two?
B4 doesn't function, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question.
Wasn't as advanced.
At the same level.
Well, that's the question, though. Like, how did they? You know what I'm saying? Like, how
In your timeline, it would be Maddox using B4's positrons that are infected with Data's memories to create the twins.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because how, if they're from Data and Data was obliterated in Nemesis, how did Maddox get Data's neurons for Dodge and Soji?
Unless it's Sabrina's call and it's the other way around and Dodge and Soji are Data.
I forgot.
We are your mother.
Or the fact that Data did the painting means that they were created before he did.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I mean, I still think that I'm right, but...
No, you could very well be. We'll find out in, six more episodes, hopefully.
Yeah.
I
still say your idea is too good for them to think
of. Thank you. Before we get off the topic of that scene, though, I do feel like it's just leading us towards... he does betray his sister for Soji, but by then Soji is already suspicious of him, and then he has to win her back.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Which is such a normal thing, and that's such an easy out. Because, I mean, every story does that. Every That's so easy. I really hope you're wrong.
That's why I'm frustrated. I feel like it's too easy for me to read the future of it. But to be frank, I do that with like every movie and every TV show I watch. So maybe there's something weirdly analytical in my brain that just like picks up all the patterns that writers use. But I'm still disappointed that they're patterns that all the writers use. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
correct.
Like, it is difficult to do something that will surprise everyone, but all right, come on, you guys. This is a little, like, tropey.
I will admit, I'm still happy because I was surprised that they were Data's, like, kids, or they're related to Data somehow, because I thought that they were going to be a whole different thing. So that, they did catch me off guard, and that was cool.
It makes sense to me, though, because Data, after Picard, I would say Data is the favorite of TNG.
Yeah.
Several people have mentioned to me, and I kind of agree with them, that like the Picard Data friendship has quote unquote become much stronger than it was. Like in the show, he was, you know, he was friends with Data and with the rest of his crew, cool. It was like equal. It wasn't like Data's my favorite and then everybody else.
Yeah.
But since Data's our favorite, they were like Picard and Data were super close, yeah. Even though I'm like Data was besties with Geordi.
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah. But whatever.
If you asked Picard back then about Data, he'd say, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
Not, man, I love him to death. Yeah. We've been together forever.
But he also sacrificed his life, which was pretty much immortality for Picard. Mm. So, I mean, Picard has a certain level of loyalty to him, too, you know?
Yeah, but he has that loyalty for his whole crew.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And Data did that for everybody.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
Since we're already talking about what's going on with the Borg ship, there's really, like, only one other scene that took place on it, so do you want to just finish that subject?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, you're talking about... Sorry, hold on real quick. I didn't have my notes up.
I have notes. So there was a scene earlier on in the episode that's just them talking about the Romulan lady. Oh, Soji watching, like, a video recording of the Romulan lady, I think before she was turned into a Borg, because she had, like, both eyebrows and no Borg attachments. Mm-hmm. The way they reflected on her face was interesting, but I wonder if that was just a visual trick or if they're trying to actually say something specific about it. That was the note that I made.
What do you feel they were trying to say?
I'm not sure they were trying to say anything aside from the fact that these two are connected somehow, which she straight up says. I feel connected to her for some reason.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out that later. A line that I found funny. Soji says, "I'm trying to challenge my paradigm," and I'm like, "That's a good thing to do. Everyone listening should do that too. We should also do that. Mm-hmm. Try to challenge your paradigm as much as you can." But that very much felt like a line from the Star Trek writers to the Star Trek audience, rather than something a person would say. Yeah.
This is new Star Trek, guys.
Challenge your paradigm,
new
you guys.
Paradigm. We're trying to be creative, and we're making fun of them for that. But you know they are, and there is something to like, the things where I try to wrestle with myself over trying to get used to this Star Trek is that, TNG changed from TOS, mm-hmm. and that was okay. Mm-hmm. So why can't we have this? But for me, the reason is, I'm mixed up on this. Like, if you want to do something different like this, I'd stop connecting it so much to the past.
Yeah.
So if like the Star Trek galaxy changed, like I would be okay with this more in like, you know, 400 years mm-hmm. or 1,000 years.
Like that Discovery season 3.
Yeah.
Distance.
Yeah. Do that and then like you'll feel a lot less complaining about why things aren't the way they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
Reason Discovery had so much blowback was because they were like, we're going to be 5 years before TOS. Like, that was a bad
exactly.
move. See, yep. Enterprise got blowback because it was poorly written, not because we were like, wait, what the... No, that's not true. We gave Enterprise a lot of shit for changing canon.
Yeah, stop going to the prequel era and then making yourself
wait, JK, guys, we totally met the Ferengi way back when. What? And
what, you didn't like Read Alert? Forget. The Read Alert was awesome.
I thought that was kind of funny.
I might have liked Enterprise more if they had actually allowed Reed to be gay. Thanks, Brenna.
Yeah.
I don't like my spaceships looking like submarines.
but that's that. I mean, TOS was based on submarine warfare, so I see the reference they were making there.
Yeah.
But fair enough. I mean, ships are your thing.
I actually, one thing I thought was interesting about that scene with her watching the video of the Romulan. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, she's referencing the Destroyer, right? So this is something mm-hmm. that had been spoken of prior that's, you know, in their news, not their, you know, lore or mythology. So I'm curious what because obviously there's a story, right? There's mm-hmm. a news story. I'm curious what that story is, you know, I want to know what that story is. And also,
I mean, mm-hmm. that's the plot.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's very interesting. And I have to admit, like, there are little spots that are very, that just really pull me in. And I'm like, ooh, I gotta know. Mm-hmm. I gotta know what happens. You know, like mm-hmm. they're sucking me in. I'm like, oh, I just can't wait to see what happens. But mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, and I still have this suspicion that the people on that ship that got assimilated, that made that Borg cube fail, there's something going on. There's something going on with that crew.
There's definitely something.
Yeah. And, and
maybe Crazy Romulan Lady is also an android.
Yeah, I know.
Because they did specify pretty hard that there is something special about them. They said, like, it was the only Romulan ship that ever got simulated and stuff. So
I don't know if it's ever simulated ever, but definitely by that Borg cube.
Yeah.
Or the last one, even. So there was something.
Yeah, it's just, it's very, it's all very interesting, and I'm totally sucked in, and I'm all in. You know me, I'm a fan. I'm all in.
Wait a second. What if that crew was tactically sent?
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be why, like, it was like maybe it was somebody's move, maybe a Maddox move.
They were sent specifically to get rid of the destroyer.
Yeah, or to disable the I'm not sure.
Oh, right.
But maybe there's a reason. There's like why they say there's
sure
a connection between Soji and that crew.
Yeah, I'm sure that Romulan dislike for synths extended to the Borg. Because the Borg were like, we're organic creatures that wish we were synths, basically.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's, because perfection is an organic
word. A lot to think about, isn't there?
Okay. Yes, there is. I'm giving it a chance.
Michael, I feel like you've been kind of quiet. What's going on? Like, how are you feeling with everything?
No, I was just, in regards to that scene, I thought it was interesting. You know, obviously either Soji or her sister, who may still be alive, is the destroyer. But it's just like, I'm wondering what they could do to, because apparently the destroyer brings on the day of annihilation, is what she was saying, which is like the destruction of all life everywhere. It's like, what could one android do that would actually cause that?
But actually, we got a line that slipped in, something that suggests that it's the destroyer can like activate all of the other synths and AIs, and that's why they hate them so much. Because like the Borg, they just all connect together and then wipe out organic life.
Yeah, there was that line she said, like, when all shackled demons break their chains and answer call of the destroyer. So yeah
exactly. Okay. I gotta pause there for a sec and be disappointed, because we were talking last week about how Star Trek is like a prime sci-fi and it doesn't need to steal from other sci-fi, and now we're disappointed that it is. That's the Mass Effect storyline. Like, straight up, that's the Mass Effect storyline. A bunch of inorganics show up and they're like, organics suck, so we're gonna clear you all out, we're gonna put you in our database of species, and then we're gonna let the other nascent species develop.
Okay, so the writers,
a bunch of AI showing up out of nowhere and destroying all of organic life. I'm kind of like, all right, you guys.
Star Trek used to be the show that everyone was trying to be like,
and now it's trying to be like
Star Trek is trying to be like, it's trying to be like Firefly, it's trying to be like Mass Effect.
All it's telling me is that the writers are gamers, and I'm for that.
But no,
they play the right games.
I'm with Jay. I'm still a fan. I just want to know what happens. So just have to be patient.
Yeah. It'll pay off.
I wasn't a fan. I just said it's
I didn't say that.
No, Sabrina, you listen. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, while we're talking about the show stealing from other shows, the outside view of La Serena really reminds me of prequel Star Wars ship designs. Like with the white lines on the front and then the red paint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's definitely more Mass Effect because it's got the harder edges and little details in it where, no, I don't know. We're both right.
I definitely wouldn't say prequel Star Wars because prequel Star Wars is more like Junkertown. Oh. But
okay, sorry.
Prequel
Speaking of ships and prequels, how about that old school Romulan? Was it Bird of Prey?
The Bird of Prey.
I'm glad they pointed it out that they got themselves a junker, which is cool.
Yeah, that was cute.
Something that old, I think, shouldn't have been able to tangle with the last.
Well, who knows what kind of upgrades it's had? Right.
True.
Yeah.
They upgraded.
It would need upgrades.
Their weapons and nothing else.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool.
They didn't even have a cloak.
Yeah.
They kept the chassis.
They didn't even have a cloak. What kind of Romulan ship is this?
I mean, but how cool was that? I mean, when that thing flew in, I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. You know, because we haven't seen that era of Romulan ships in years, since TOS.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I liked it. I thought it was a cool throwback.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was just okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but Keith, what did you think about the little ship that zipped in? Let's not talk about who was on it yet, but the little ship that zipped in.
Could barely see it. That's and true. Then if you're a starfighter throwing down against a capital ship, you shouldn't be able to. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. A tiny little starfighter just ripped off a wing. Like, all right, come on.
Maybe it was enhanced.
I feel bad picking on the show because I feel like I'm being some kind of, I have some kind of bias or something. But yeah, it's just like, I don't need starfighter fights in my Star Trek.
Listen, I don't know what you're talking about. TNG fans talk trash about TNG. DS9 fans talk trash about DS9. All of us talk trash about all of the Star Trek. We all know that there's bits of Star Trek that are trash and that are fun to make fun of. It's fine to do it about Picard. It doesn't mean we hate it. And even if we do hate it, we're still going to watch it. So, like, who cares? Whatever. Nitpick all you want.
Gotcha. Then, on the side of, like, my normal Star Trek, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing with your starfighter just flipping around in my Star Trek? You could be shot in one shot from one of those capital ships. But if I'm going to flip myself around to, like, you know, this is Picard now, all right, you know, maybe 7 of 9 got herself a kick. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone's going to have a starfighter that can rock a capital ship, 7 of 9 is going to be the person who could probably get a hold of one of those and have the knowledge to soup out
there. Really funny, I guess. She just, like, souped up her weapons and did not do shit for shields.
Crossed her fingers on getting beamed out.
Well, she's like, I'm never going to get hit. I'm too good.
She's like, Picard. Help.
They wait way too long to beam her out, too. Because, like, in Star Trek all this time, usually if you have, like, a small ship, you can be shot in one hit and you're done. Yeah. And they're, like, having a conversation on, should we take her? I don't know. Wait.
But we don't know who it is.
Like, oh, guys, she's dead.
You're in a live battle.
Yeah.
Just beam her to the brig.
There were a couple moments where I was like, wait, Picard, really? Like, when they first call him and he's down there and they're like, hey, there's a Romulan ship coming. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure you guys can take care of it. Whatever. Like, what? Deal with it. I'm busy. Hold on. Yeah. And also bit where he's just like, yeah, you just got angry at your, like, child friend chopping off that dude's head, but you're not going to be like, yeah, immediately. Obviously, beam that person on board. What?
Yeah. Well, and I'm so
sure.
Cold-blooded murder.
So this is something that I wrote down that it had very when she flew in like that, it had Maquis vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
kind of did.
Like it felt very Maquis to me.
But that makes sense because she probably learned she probably learned Helm from Chakotay. Yeah.
That's what I mean. So like it felt like I don't know if that was just I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but it felt very Maquis to me. And I was like, ooh.
Maquis are very guerrilla, and it's just a guerrilla tactic to fly and shoot and then, like, be like, oh, fuck, my ship's exploding, beat me aboard. So,
They do drop enough Easter eggs per episode, which only, like, the deepest nerd would get, and, like, which to me I don't think is pandering. So I do think there might be actually something to that. Like, in the beginning of the episode, they're drinking ramen ale from that little cask thing that I saw in, I thought I saw it in Undiscovered Country, but the video I saw says it was in Wrath of Khan. But like I saw it, and it's on the table. They drew no attention to it. They didn't like wave it in front of the camera. I was just like, oh. So I think they do know. Yeah, they do know what
absolutely.
They're doing.
Mm.
It's just,
that's easier to do with like form. Visual props and stuff than it is to do in writing though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, it just.
Speaking of which, I did like the Romulan casual wear.
My brain did not log it. Oh, you mean on planet?
On the planet. Yeah, as you may have noticed, I will just randomly compliment or otherwise the visual departments because they don't get a lot of talking about. Since obviously we want to talk about plot. But, I mean, costume, set design, makeup, sound.
I love anything that forces someone to wear a sword at their hip. So, yeah, that was really cool to me. That was really cool.
I also like his sword cane.
Canes.
Yeah, I thought, to me, like, the cutlasses, that they had felt brutally out of place and way too much, like, they grabbed them out of the prop department.
Cutlasses.
But then at the same time, I do like it when they, you know, have out of place, you know, grab from the prop department. Like, you know, Stargate does it all the time, and it's just like fun guerrilla sci-fi.
It's kind of a fun reference to Star Trek TOS too, because TOS notoriously had such a low budget that they would like, the reason they had so many episodes that were like a Western or Nazi or whatever is because they were like, what show just finished filming? Can we use their set and their costumes? So I think that was like, a good call.
That's a core of like what I like in my fiction, because it's a kind of like almost a mirror of what it was like when I was a kid when we were growing up and playing. Mm-hmm. Like you take all your toys from the box and you mix them all together to make your fiction happen. And I like seeing that kind of creativity.
One thing I have to throw out, and this is something that, you know, so we're in the future. They're on a planet, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, they have a shield around the planet, but then the only weapons that they have are swords.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like, wait a minute.
Where'd the planet shield come from?
Well, at the end, they did pull out like the disruptors or whatever. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Right before they got named out.
I mean, planet shield.
I'm not sure there's. I don't know if it's a shield, like a shield, or if it's just.
It's like a protection.
Defense network. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like wondering, like, if the discrepancy is like because of these rangers that they're talking about, there's a time where there was a lot of resources put on the planet and it just got left behind.
The Kalan Kai? Which soldiers are you talking about?
I did not pay close enough attention to it, but I remember them saying that like at the start of like creating this planet of refugees, there were some rangers that were there, and maybe they had lots of like military assets placed there at first, but as things disintegrated on planet, they just left all the hardware in orbit, and that's why there's a discrepancy between swords and planet shields.
I didn't.
Okay,
that's what
it's
I
because
said.
The Federation abandoned us. Don't you
yes,
know?
we're gonna carry swords now. All
right.
Okay, so speaking of, now that we know who was on that ship, so Seven of Nine showed up, and I love where she was like, "Picard, you owe me a ship." Like she just came in like super badass, like very again.
I came in, my ship's gone now, so you need to give
again,
me a new one.
Very, it feels very Maquis. Like she feels very Maquis to me. So it's like, this is interesting, you know. But she just, I know, right? But if we finally get the reveal of Seven, and she's finally on the ship with Picard, and it's the first time that those two have met that we know of, and they're both ex-Borg. I mean, that's something I've been looking forward to this whole time. So, you know, I was hoping that.
Well, you don't have it quite yet, do
what?
You?
No,
you don't
not
have it quite yet, do you? That was just
exactly,
the hook for next episode.
Exactly, but that's just it. Like I was hoping that we would see her this episode, and we did. So, you know, we don't know. There's nothing else yet. But you know what it does do is it explains how, because you know in the previews you see her and him talking at his chateau. And now you know why, because it's the holodeck in the ship.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, wait, does he go back to Earth? Now,
that's what I was thinking.
Now we know why.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be looking for him on Earth first, and that's why we saw her there.
Yeah.
And then she'd race into space to catch up to him. But yeah, it's on the ship.
Oh no, that actually makes me think of something bad.
Oh no.
I'm suddenly concerned that the reason that they have a holodeck of his chateau on the ship is specifically so that they could trick us by showing us that in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I hope that's not the only reason.
I've seen it a lot lately with movies where there'll be a line that's in the trailer, and when you see it in the movie, you're like, all right, you put that line in the movie just so that you could have it for the trailer.
Yeah.
Like Rey going to the dark side?
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often in the TV show world, but I hope that's not why that happened.
On a flat dork level, I love that I'm seeing Picard and 7-9 look at each other and share words at each other. I'm very happy for that, and I hope we do get the legit conversation of like, yeah, man, I was a Borg too once. Like, oh man, that was crazy. And it's one of I hope we get that real conversation happening. Oh. And it'll be cool to see them.
Well,
interact.
Those two are such epic characters, and just the combination of those two together in a series, I've been so excited for. So I'm so excited. I can't even like explain how much I can't wait to see what's gonna happen between those two.
Well, I'm just interested to see how Seven's like personality and stuff has changed over the years. Because before she was human, but she was very Borg like still. Yeah, exactly, rigid. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if she's like fully, like a quote unquote
relaxed.
Normal human. Yeah, relaxed, or if she still kind of has that rigidness. I hope she has a little bit of it still.
I hope she's same.
I hope she drops a Naomi Wildman reference That's what I hope.
Oh, that'd be cool. Oh,
that'd be cute.
I don't get it. I'm a bad Star Trek fan.
She was like family with Naomi Wildman. Wildman's mother died aboard the ship when she gave birth to Naomi, and Naomi ended up being raised more or less by Seven of Nine and Neelix. Yeah. Obviously, Seven of Nine would be the favorite parent
here.
Naomi
Wildman was like the adopted kind of kid. She was adorable, and she had a very, very gentle, very sweet, like, disposition towards Seven of Nine. It was, you know, like, she kind of saw through the hard exterior. It was really sweet. They had such a...
Keith, remember when we watched the Seven of Nine episodes? There was the one with the little girl that calls her family at the end? That's Naomi.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I hope then in a couple episodes we see them on the ship and they're getting outgunned and outmatched. And like, I think this is the end. And all of a sudden, hey, could you use some assistance? And like the ship drops out of warp. It's a Starfleet ship and she's a captain.
Oh, that'd be adorable. And I mean, they could use the same actress.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what's so cool about this show being 20 years in the future is it's real time. It's all real time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to do a small complaint, it'd be that, man, your galaxy is small.
Yeah. So I always like, laugh when it's like, oh, you get saved by somebody who you already know out of, like, all of the places.
Yeah. We loved Data before he was, we loved him because he was, we didn't know who he was. When he hit the screen for the first time, it's like, oh, man, it's Data. We like him. It's just like, who's this weird thing that we eventually get to know over time and he grows on us and he becomes a cool thing versus put on screen. This person is cool because you know and reference. And that's once again the difference between short form serialized and then having like 10 seasons of 26 episodes to win.
But at the same time, we don't know what Seven already knows. You know what I mean? Like she might have been following Picard for years. You know what I mean? Knowing that Data... Like, she might know a little bit about this and know that him and Data were close and that he would be the one to do it. Like, we don't really know what's going on.
If she does, we can expect to get an info dump from her next episode.
Look, I'm very much looking forward to it.
To info dumps?
Lots of 79 all the screen. Oh,
well, that's it for my list. So, you all, let's just wrap. Let's talk. What did I miss? What isn't on the list? What are your thoughts? What are your hopes? What are your... failures.
Hold on, let's do that one thing at a time.
Right. Are we talking personal failures, Jay, or just...
Oh, man, I could go on for hours with that.
Because I still got stuff on my list.
Okay, let's go.
Please. Before I even hit any of those things. First, I have a couple of quotes that I thought were funny, so I'm just going to share them with you. Hilarious. Ravi says, man, you can't even take a guilt trip without using a starship. About Picard. That's fucking amazing. But
they do some good roasting back and forth.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Right.
But I can see actually I was on that I took a note saying that people are gonna get really mad about like that when they all sat down together to talk, they're all doing a kind of a snark off.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, the adult conversations we used to like in Star Trek. And a lot of fans are going to hit the YouTube going, oh my God, they don't get along. And that annoys a lot of people. And it annoys me too, mostly, I'll say. But I get why they...
Here's the thing. Also, television nowadays, a lot of the stuff they're looking for in writers is specifically the ability to write one-liners. Especially with the rise of Marvel movies and Marvel TV shows where it's just like... like comic books, you know, you beat a villain and then you give him a one-liner. So a lot of writing nowadays focuses on that kind of
quippiness.
Yes. So unfortunately, that is going to affect Star Trek.
No.
Different Star Trek. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either, but you know, whatever. At least they finally got a scene that was just purely like the crew being who they were and seeing how they interacted. Yeah. Another quote I found funny was a. Tell them it's me, trying to get permission to go. And they're like, yeah, they were not impressed. And he was just offended. How dare they?
Wait a minute.
What? Or on Vashti when she goes down and she's like, you've aged. And he's like, you haven't. And she's like, I remind you, this is a house of truth. Adorable. Right. But also, one liner.
Yeah.
Do you guys want me to go through my notes and then we'll go through your guys' notes? Or...
I think you're doing pretty good right here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a total side note, but I noticed in the scene with Daj and... Not Daj, fucking Soji.
Soji.
I can't keep them straight. The scene with Soji and Romulan guy, whose name I will learn eventually. He was wearing a wedding ring, and my brain was like, okay, three things. One, it's an actual wedding ring for the character. Probably unlikely. Two, Romulans don't give a shit about ring figures, yeah. And it's not a Romulan cultural thing, so it doesn't even occur to him. But three, I wonder if it's actually Harry Treadway's ring, because some actors take off their wedding rings when they're in character and some don't.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Oh. I thought it was just kind of assumed that you had to.
Yeah. I definitely do, like, depending on the character, if the character's married, it's fine to have a wedding ring. If the character's not, you mm-hmm. shouldn't. But some actors don't, like, if it's not specified whether their character is married or not, they prefer to keep it on because, you know, it's a devotional, like, symbol. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I feel like if I were Harry Treadway and I was playing a Vulcan and I had a wedding ring, I'd be like, Romulan. I'd be like, Romulans don't care about wedding rings, so it's fine to keep it on, and then ask your costumer or your director if it's fine. Mm-hmm. So, this is a weird thing I noticed.
My God.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would not even, my brain never registered any kind of jewelry on anybody's fingers the entire time I've ever seen every TV show I've ever seen.
I'm always keeping out an eye for costume and for makeup and design, because it'll tell you a lot about characters that they won't necessarily say out loud. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking now.
We haven't talked about the Kalan Kai yet. The Kalan Kai? That's the group of like sword wielding ladies that Elnor grew up in. So here's my note. The Kalan Kai, the reason he can join Picard's cause is because it follows in the requirements. What are the requirements? Agnes asks. It has to be a lost cause. If it's a lost cause, most of the time the person who is doing it will die. So, just curious how the system and this group continues. They only engage themselves in lost causes. Like, shouldn't your order have died out by now?
If it was a lost cause, maybe it was a lost cause before they became a part of it, and maybe they made it not a lost cause, right?
But there then it's go. Not
well,
a lost
well
cause.
Well said, Jay. Not anymore, but it was.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We will turn this cause around exactly. for you, losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I thought that was fun. I mean, yes, that was another one of those... Excuse me. Sorry. That was another one of those one-liners. Problems. You know, like, you know, it was a... Well, we do it when they're, it's a lost cause. I mean, that's kind of like an easy one-liner thing. But it's...
you suck with that is.
Well, I mean, he wasn't really one of them anyway, because he was a male. Mm-hmm. But he still followed in their rules and their footsteps, right?
Do you think anybody's going to mention how weird it is that his accent is Australian, or you think they'll drop it now?
1 second. Technical difficulties.
Let's see. Can we still keep talking? Should we?
No. Yes, maybe. I hope whoever edits remembers that this happened.
Okay, sorry. I'm back.
I have a small critique against the Lady Orders of Sword Slingers. When it comes to that, I'm an action movie martial arts snob. If you're going to be that, I need to get that. There's usually a feeling you get off of people who are actual martial arts or done training where you go, you are a warrior. And the ones I saw on screen,
we're not warriors.
I did not feel the warrior. Yeah, they're actresses and like they're pleasant. They seem nice. But I
they seem very pleasant and nice for a group of swords wielding.
Like hire stunt women and then put them in costumes. But then again, maybe they are. I don't know. But
especially since they're all extras except for the one lady.
So like, I love getting the feeling off of fighters that they are fighters versus being told they are. And you can get away with that with any other profession with me. Like, you can be not a pilot, you can be not a scientist, but if you're gonna say you're a fighter, like, there are stunt people out there, and like, put them on the screen. There you go.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I agree with you there.
So, and then like this new guy, I do get a fighter vibe off him, but I just don't. I haven't nailed down what I think his personality is yet.
Yeah,
like the most I know of him is he killed like what seemed kind of like this guy had some grievances that had building up over decades, mm-hmm. so he had a reason to be pretty mad.
Yeah. That did seem like an unnecessary
killed him
death.
In cold blood.
Yeah. Killed him in cold blood, and now you get to be part of Picard's crew? Okay, I'll let it go.
That was so Picard would have a moment to be like, killing is bad, even if it's people attacking me.
But again, he did give him a choice.
But I thought they kind of, already made that, point in the other episode with his blaster being on stun and everybody else's blaster being on kill.
And also in that they were also in a samurai / Wild West world, and that does happen. Yep. Like if you talk to a swordsman, they say, "Look, I will kill you if you do this. Don't do it. And if you do it, then you get killed." So on that planet, in that world, yes, it did make sense, but I just didn't like it.
Oh, you mean so it's like that Firefly scene where they start a fight in the bar because they're brown coats?
Yes.
Yeah.
one thing I wanted to bring up between him and Picard is, you know, he was very irritated and was like, no, I don't want to be near you. But then, like, 10 minutes later, he was like, here, I'm going to slice this guy's head off and save you. And now I am giving you my sword. Like, it was a very very drastic change of heart, very quick, you know?
It was.
Maybe he had some time to think. He, like, walked through, like, his raggedy town, and, like, you know, there's, like, garbage everywhere. He's like, or I could be with Picard in space.
And maybe see cats.
Maybe see cats. Mm-hmm. I love that the one thing he says about Data, he's like, yeah, you told me about Data. He had an orange cat. It was named Spot. That's the important thing. Jay, in regards to that very quick change of heart he had, actually, before we saw his reaction to Picard, obviously I figured out pretty quickly, and I'm sure you guys did too, that the kid he was teaching to sword fight would grow up to be sword fighting Romulan.
I didn't catch that right away. And like,
what? Keith, come on.
Clicked, I was like, oh, hey. I was like, who's this kid? And then it did, then they started training. I'm like, let's do this.
But I actually made a note immediately that I wondered if he would be really bitter or if he would be really happy to see Picard again, because he was like, what, like 8 or 9 when it happened. So feelings about childhood especially are really ambiguous and ambivalent, not in the like I don't really care, but in the like I have very strong feelings in both directions kind of way. So like his initial reaction would be like, I haven't seen this man again in 20 years, he feels absolutely abandoned, so he's like, hey, go fuck yourself. And then Picard is clearly like unhappy about having abandoned them all and stuff, so it makes sense to me that he would have a change of heart as opposed to the people who are adults when it happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I get that. It's and I mean, it's part of the plot too. Like, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean he's not going to go with you? Oh, but he has to. He's in all the previews. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we all knew that he was going that he was going to join, but you know, it was part of the plot. I get it.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the same thing with him and Rafi, where they're like, they gave him an excuse to hate Picard, so it could be like, and now Picard has to win him back. Weird that they're doing it with two different characters, but.
Well, he has to, to kind of do that with the whole...
I'm disappointed in two different character arcs that are focused on the relationship with Picard. Like, they can have their own arcs.
That's his relationship with everyone, though. Even the Admiral. Excuse me.
Yeah, but that was not the case in TNT.
Well, exactly.
One of the reasons I was upset with Discovery was because they came out and they said, this is not going to be a show about a captain, this is going to be a show about a first officer. And I was like, pause. None of the shows were about the captain. They were all about the crew.
Thank you.
TOS, granted, did the 3 main, not the, like, 9 main, like the rest of the shows. But this one kind of feels that way, God too. Like, it's not the ensemble. It's Picard and the gang. So I was hoping that they would have their own arcs more, but it looks like their arcs are going to be more defined by their relationship with Picard. At least for those two characters, we'll see what happens.
And once again, it's like the last notes I have, and the problem we have with that is that it's the difference of like different fiction. I think I would love the show if maybe I could get used to the show if it had 26 episodes this season. And, like, all these characters that you don't like and stuff, they get, like, personal episodes. And then, like, you see the writers figure out how to make them cooler, change their costumes up, and they, like, see them grow over time so that, like, where in Stargate Atlantis, there's this guy named Rodney who's a freaking asshole. But, man, he keeps on getting these moments that do keep adding up, and he, over time, you get to be won over, and it's kind of like life. You get to enjoy, like, new people.
I am Ronnie. Ronnie is me. Then...
Ronnie will stop. Ronnie's such a jerk. You said people.
Everyone finds me annoying and aggressive at the beginning, and then slowly I win them over. Come on.
And I'm
and
totally
then they ask you to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So eventually my feelings about you will change, Sabrina. Is that what you're saying?
You'll grow to like me, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, dang.
Because you don't run out, right?
But yeah, I miss fiction that had enough time to win you over. If you didn't like the person,
yeah, certainly. You can get like, won over. Imagine trying to put Reg Barkley in a 10-episode serial series like this and tell me if anybody would like Reg. But because Reg had those episodes specifically about his anxieties and stuff, a whole bunch of people who are, you know, I don't want to say mentally ill. What's the word I'm looking for?
Social awkward?
No. It's like non-normative brain function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There's a specific term for it that's slipping my mind right now. Because not all non-normative brain functions is like a problem. Like anxiety and depression are a problem. Or at least to me, they feel like a problem. But like autism, for example, is just a different way of thinking. It's not actually negative, despite what people may try to tell you. So like that kind of thing, a lot of people connected to Reg Barkley really well. And I don't think they would have if he was in a serial series. We just would have been like, oh my God, who is that annoying dude who won't like chill out?
Yep. He would have had his one note of like, you know, his kind of annoyingness. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the second to last episode, he finally gets to rise. Versus, I loved how flawed he was, and like I think there was a time where you thought he'd given up on. Oh no, how he gave up his holodeck addiction was just like, oh, new good, great twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we get
we definitely wouldn't have been happy to see him in Voyager.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We our fiction does not give us enough time to just be with the characters on a slice of life a day, so we get to like know them and grow with them.
I do feel that that's a weakness of our serial speed series right now.
Binge everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I think might be changing pretty soon.
Yeah, like, Disney is pushing to bring us back to episodic, and I have no problem with that.
Cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep, it earns them more money, and it's better for the fiction.
Yeah, because we've gone on a tangent here, but one of the issues with streaming is, like, for example, Stranger Things, very popular for like a month, and then everybody forgets about it until the next season comes out. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you release one season per episode, people are excited about it for months. They're talking about it on the internet for months, so it keeps attention on their products. So there's, I think companies got really excited about streaming because streaming was taking off and it was making sure that people would watch their entire series, but soon they'll start kind of reverting as they realize that it doesn't lend itself to long-term attention as much.
Yeah, taking from...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, taking from another video that like I've been thinking about binge culture for like a few years now and just haven't been able to put my finger on, like, what am I noticing? And like to figure it out, I made me and my best friend watch Stargate because we were like, what's this ratchet-ass series that hated? Yeah, and then we watched it. And then like we found out there's a different joy when you have time to ruminate on a person... an episode that like closes itself up and then you go to the next versus binge when like it hits all in one week and then you're kind of done with it afterwards and it's just gone. And yeah, if they spread it out, then like they also keep people from subscribing for 1 month and then canceling. Yeah. So there's money for them and better.
That's actually what I was going to bring up is the whole CBS All Access thing. When it comes to Star Trek, I have no problem forking money out because Star Trek's my favorite. But that being said, when Discovery Season 1 was over, I canceled my membership because I'm like, and they're like, what is your reasoning?
Okay, what am I going to watch?
They're like,
now?
What is your reasoning? I said, because there's no more Star Trek to watch, you know? And basically, that's what it is. Like, there's literally nothing on CBS I want to watch other than Star Trek. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have like Twilight Zone. They have some cool stuff, but nothing is going to make me pay except Star Trek. I'm not going to pay for anything unless it's Star Trek. So basically, which is funny because I would prefer to not have to pay, but since it's Trek, I'll pay. But they seriously were like, hey, you know, why are you canceling? And I'm like, because there's no Trek on. You know, if you had Star Trek on all year, whether it's one series or multiple series, if there's something for me to look forward to for an entire year, you'll have my money for an entire year. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's why they're developing six different series.
Honestly, I think that's why.
Yeah.
But also they're trying to cover different bases. You know, like Discovery is more action-y, Picard is drawing in the TNG crowd. The animated show they're working on right now is like for kids and Star Trek fans.
They've got one coming out on Nickelodeon too, I think, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm actually really excited about that one. From what little I've seen, you know, I don't go out looking for information a lot, but from what little I've seen, it's like this concept that a bunch of kids who are secretly geniuses, because, you know, kids are geniuses in the Star Trek universe, even the normal kids, not even the Wesleys, but even the normal kids are doing, like, quantum mechanics of fucking seventh grade. So a group of kids finds a derelict ship and is like, a derelict Starfleet ship, and they're like, oh, we'll take it. I mean, that's to go on adventures. Yeah, that's cute. And I hope that's episodic.
That's it.
I don't think serial shows have taken over for kids' shows yet, so it's probably going to stick to episodic. But I think that's going to be really, like, jaunty to watch. A little, like, TAS.
I'll watch it with the kiddo. Oh, man, like, I'm in. Something I can watch with them.
I don't have any kiddos, but I'll watch it anyway.
We can talk about it on the podcast.
I think a kids' show is more likely to have that optimism that I miss from Star Trek.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, like, Picard himself is kind of optimistic, but the world itself is not optimistic. So.
Yeah. Yet. I think Picard's going to change everything.
Yet. We hope so.
Yeah.
The new inspiration.
What else we got? Those are all my notes. Sorry.
The last thing I have is that Star Trek was Twilight Zone. Dun, dun, dun. Twilight Zone, I noticed, launched lots of beloved science fiction. Mm-hmm. Where Twilight Zone, the fun was like what you get in Stargate or original Star Trek is like you don't know what's going to happen when you tune in. Like you tune in, you're at ground zero for some kind of weird thing that happens. So Twilight Zone was just like, you know, self-contained short stories. But then they took Twilight Zone situations and then they threw a tactical team at it. And then you get that kind of like fun. You don't know what's going to happen each episode and the characters grow over time. And I miss that kind of format. I want that back where I just... don't know what's going to happen. Let's get crazy and then watch people grow against that. There you go.
Yeah, my favorite SGA episodes are character episodes. They're not the like super dope mid-series or series finale two-parters that are super actiony. Like those are fun, but they're not my favorite. My favorite are the character episodes.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I got. All
right, Michael?
No, you guys covered everything that I had. Yeah. I'm just looking forward to watching more.
Yeah. All right, Jay.
I'm actually very excited about the next episode.
Finally, Jerry Ryan. My God. We've been waiting for you to appear, and here you are.
Only took four complete episodes, and we get to see you for 2 seconds at the very end.
I was looking on IMDb because I was trying to figure out if Elnor is Australian or New Zealander. Mm-hmm. The accents are pretty close for me. It's a little hard for me to distinguish. I was pretty sure he was Australian, but I went to check anyway. He is whatever. I'm not gonna talk about which character I saw it for, but I noticed that a certain character was only in 3 episodes, as opposed to 6, as opposed to 8, as opposed to 10. You know, and I got a little disappointed. So don't look at IMDb.
Come on,
guys.
Why you gotta do that?
Stay
why
away.
Why do you have to do that? Sabrina,
damn it.
You know I like to share my disappointments.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be okay, Jim.
All right, Dave, you got anything else for us? You had a bunch of questions and I cut you off.
I'm all good. I just appreciate having you all here and the podcast and having everyone listening and stuff. It's we're already at almost an hour and a half again. Like, this is, I think, becoming our norm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so easy to go on and talk about Star Trek with you three. So,
but there's one portion of the podcast. My favorite portion that we haven't done yet,
which is predictions, theories. Predictions. Yes, good call. I forgot about that. I forgot we're doing that now. Yeah,
I gotta keep score.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not very good at this whole like being in charge thing. So, or hosting or whatever. My predictions are, we're going to have more Romulan brother and sister awkwardness. I think it's just going to get worse, and it's going to be cringeworthy. Yeah. It already is. You know, to be honest, though, other than like that, which is just being funny, but other than that, I'm not really sure, because I've already kind of said what I think is going to happen with like Daj and Soji and all that stuff. This episode, episode didn't really change my mind with much. If anything, it just kind of gave me more to be hungry for the next episode or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, the first three were kind of setting the story up. These are kind of the grit. Like I think these next episodes are going to be kind of the grit of what's going on. So I don't know. Like I'm still sticking with what I was talking about last week.
Sounds good.
My predictions will be that the twin incest sister, she's set up to die by the brother's hand.
Okay.
If she is way, like if you're naughty evil, you're set up to die, and it's gonna be dramatic, and she won't see it coming. The Romulan swordsman, he will have a gigantic fake out death, but he won't. And then also, this one other people came up with that I didn't come up with myself, but I guess I can.
You're not
start
getting
to
points
it.
For it.
okay, yeah. Not okay. I think I was going to say that this. I can't get the points for this one, but the cute girl from Scott Pilgrim, she's going to be the ultimate betrayer.
Agnes?
What? No.
Yep. People think that she's way too innocent set up, and also there was a line that did stick out to me. So that was when Rafi says, "I didn't even do a background check on her." Looks at the camera.
Looks at the camera.
Goes back to her character.
Okay. Yeah. Good note.
That makes me sad.
So yeah, that line stuck out. I was like, why did she say it like that?
I do feel that it's very likely that Agnes would take the side of the AI. Because she's an AI doctor, so I'm not sure I would say that I would call her a betrayer. Like, I don't think she's gonna be like, haha, I meant to do this the whole time and like stab Picard in the back. But that does raise an interesting point about like alliances and there not being a real like good side and a bad side and it all being like your own morality, because most of these people are afraid of AI. Agnes loves androids. Mm-hmm. So it won't necessarily be that she betrays them, but rather that her thinking of androids as
from the point of view of like the Star Trek that we used to like, and not what happens in like high caliber serial. Look at this whiz bang pow.
Yeah,
like I like your idea because that's better writing. But I really think they are setting Subway. Oh, she's so cute.
Stabsies.
And then all that. Oh my God, she's evil and awesome. No, evil, evil, awesome. Surprise.
Yeah, that would tie in happening. With her picking up the Romulan gun, shooting the dude square, and then being like, "Oh no, did I kill someone?"
she says as she winks at the camera.
Well, I don't see her coming out as evil necessarily. Just maybe like having to make, you know, come down to one decision she has to make, where she's like pushing this button to save humanity or save the synths, and she chooses the synths, something like that, probably.
Yeah. Seeing as Agnes right now is the only like really purely positive character, I will be very disappointed if they do that, because once again, I don't need my Trek to be dark. Trek is the light for me, and please.
We live in post Game of Thrones culture.
Anyone else have any theories?
Yeah.
Before we wrap up,
my theories are the same as last week. You know, I still think that the Romulan bro is going to end up turning against his sister. I do agree with Keith. It would make sense if he ends up having to kill her. So he kills his sister to protect Soji. Soji's not evil. Daj is evil. And I'm still sticking with all that.
Acid Daj.
They were too clear about her having to be the destroyer for her to be the destroyer.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Michael.
My only final prediction is there will be more slide dancing a la Risky Business. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
It was weird to have such a like a tropey romance. We're sliding on the wood together and now we're dancing like, scene. What's happening?
A little too easy.
Well, it makes sense to me because he says he knows how to control Soji. to his sister, and then it does this, and he's like kissing her while asking her for information, you know? So he's like, oh, maybe I'll just distract her with kisses. And she's like, hold on, I'm an android. I can do two things at once. Wait, yeah. I mean, I don't know about that. How dare you call me a liar? Whatever. Yeah, those
That's
are words.
Funny. All right. Anything, any last stuff before we wrap up today?
Jerry Ryan.
I know. I can't wait. All right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Michael, Keith, you guys good?
I'm good. Just can't wait to see Picard and Seven of Nine talk at each other. Yeah. I'm very
at
excited
each other.
For
that. Yes. And just be sure to check us out at There Are Four Hosts.
Ah, you did it this time.
.com. And we're find us at Twitter at Four Hosts.
That's the number four.
And we're also on PopGeeks.
Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, PopGeeks, ThereAreFourHosts.com, Twitter at ThereAreFourHosts, right, Michael? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Or no, okay. It's four hosts. Four hosts.
And thank you everyone for listening. And thank you, Michael and Sabrina and Keith, for having this amazing podcast with me again.
Every week.
Na, na, na. Oh, and God, remember, keep looking up.
Yay. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.
We're out.